All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to continue our study on justice. This may sound a little odd to you at first. You'll wonder how this comes into play, but you'll see as we get moving here exactly how it does. Tonight, I'm going to talk about biblical or godly judging. Biblical or godly judging. And you'll see where we're coming from. I know some of you spiritual people, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. Well, there are some things we are to judge, and I'll get into that here in just a moment. So, all right, Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 12 through 18 together. Here we go. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burdens and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, the thing that which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men, and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged at your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. And ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is of God. For the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all things which you should do. Now, Moses here is in getting ready to, he's leading the people through the wilderness, but he's getting them ready to go into the promised land. Of course, there was a 40-year delay because the 12 spies, 10 said they couldn't, 10 said they could, 2 said they could, and they believed the 10 over the 2, and God said, okay, for every day that you were in the land spying the land, which was 40 days, you can wander in the wilderness for a year, which turned to be 40 years. Now, Moses, and this has not always been my opinion, it's taken me a while to get there, it took many years, but Moses was not always my favorite character, still isn't, but I believe Moses may have been the greatest Christian in all the Bible outside of Jesus. May have been the greatest leader in the Bible outside of Jesus. You don't understand the impossible job he had. Here he was, a slave child, thrown into the river, spared by Pharaoh's daughter, brought up for 40 years in the palace of the Pharaoh, deemed to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt, then got mad, killed somebody, left Dodge, and became a shepherd for 40 years. Got married while he was in Ethiopia, and God called him and said, look, I'm going to use you to go lead my people out of the bondage of Egypt. And God used Moses, this shepherd boy, this slave kid who was brought up in the palace, to lead somewhere between 3.5 and 5 million Jews out of Egypt. Now, you don't understand something. The population of L.A., just within the city limits of L.A., is 3.8 million people. Imagine leading the city of L.A. by yourself in the wilderness. That's nuts, all right? The only place I would lead L.A. is right into the ocean and let them drown. Been there, done that, amen? Let's rid the world of some evil. God, by the way, through a series of 10 plagues, multiple times to Pharaoh prior to that, and leaving Egypt finally after 10 plagues, going towards the Red Sea, being chased by Pharaoh's army, stuck at the Red Sea, God parts the Red Sea, Jews go over on dry ground. By the way, it wasn't like Charleston Heston, and he raised his hands and they went through a patch about as wide as this room. You don't move 3.5 to 5 million people very quickly through a space that size. It was huge. Then the army was staged behind them. They saw the Jews go through, so they thought they would go through. Moses got the last people out on the other side, held his hands up again, and blub, 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 they were buried in the depths of the deep blue sea. And here they are in the wilderness. They have no food. All they have is what they've carried with them. They have no water. They're in a desert in the Sinai Peninsula area. And God tells them, look, I'll provide your food with manna. You strike the rock here at Horeb, and I'll give you enough water to take care of every person. Now think about that. If only 10 gallons per person was used per day, the average person in our area uses 30 to 50 gallons of water a day. Between showering and the washroom and everything else that you do and drinking, we average about 30 to 40, sometimes 50 gallons a day. At 10 gallons a day, that's, think through this, that's over 35 million to 50 million gallons of water per day. That's about 14 to 16 hours of all the water that falls over Niagara Falls every day. That's a lot of water coming out of one rock. And it did that for 40 years. Now, that wasn't all their animals on top of that that had to drink as well. Now, listen to me very carefully. God used these, this Moses to lead and advise and counsel and pull these people out. Brother June, we probably ought to shut that because I think they're coming back in for more stuff to move and I don't want to bother anybody. They won't bother me as much as I'll bother them. Moses was the only leader that they were going to for all of their problems. If they had disputes, if they had burdens, if they had somebody that was not treating them appropriately, they were going to Moses. Imagine trying to counsel 3.5 to 5 million people. You talk about ready to pull your hair out, you wouldn't have it left. And it got so bad that God and Moses' father-in-law said, look, it's too much for you. It's time to split it up. So what they did was they put people in charge. If you look, and I'll break this down later, but there were people that were overseeing thousands. There were people that were overseeing hundreds. There were people that were overseeing 50s, and there were people that were overseeing tens. In other words, they had tiered leadership. And if you went to this leader and they couldn't solve it, you went to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. And Moses then dealt with all of the leaders and the problems that they couldn't solve on their own. Now, there's a way, though, that we are to judge. Now, listen to me for a moment here, and I really, really, really want to help you. I watch a lot of Christians get in trouble because they judge things that are not theirs to judge. They judge things that's not in their area to judge. I heard recently I was talking to somebody, and they said, and I think they were sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They said, well, I just don't think that person's saved. I don't see any evidence that they're saved. They shouldn't have said that to me, because I looked them square in the face. I said, who died and made you God? And they looked at me, and they said, what do you mean? I said, you have no right to judge somebody else's salvation. If they tell you they're saved, they're saved. You have no right to tell anything. Well, I can inspect what they're doing. Well, then I wonder if the Apostle Peter was saved. He called Jesus a ghost twice. They believed it. He was doubting the Savior. He left the ministry to go into the fishing business. Matter of fact, he was cussing and swearing. Now, wait a minute. If you would have judged him at that moment, you would have said he was lost. 43 days later, he was preaching Pentecost. So who are we to judge somebody's salvation? By the way, it's not mine to judge. When I go soul winning, I do my best to make sure I know somebody's saved. I really do. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I know that. I'll say, I believe you can know that too. Can I ask you how you know that? Oh, I just always know it. I've been baptized. I was christened as a baby. Okay, I got a problem here. But if I have somebody that says, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I realized I'm a sinner and trust Jesus as my Savior, you know what? I have no right to judge them from that point on.
Right.
I say, ding, 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 right answer. Now, you say, did they say a certain prayer? I don't find anywhere in the Bible that says you have to say a certain prayer. It says that you're supposed to call on the Lord and be saved. If they knew they were Savior, they were in need of salvation, and they got saved, that's all I can assure them of. Past that, it's fine. And by the way, it's just my job to give the gospel, not my job to judge it. Everybody understand that? All right, now, I'm going to give you quickly four different things tonight, I think. Actually, I cut it down to three. I combined a couple here, but I want to show you how God broke this down for Moses and the judgment of God's people. All right? Now, when I say judgment, I'm not talking about you had a flat tire and God's judging you for it. Or that you woke up with the flu and you barfed in the commode and God's judging you for something. Can I tell you something? Did you know that there's a lot of lost people that got up and got the flu today and they weren't being judged by God? I got a pastor friend who had surgery today and won't be out of bed for 3 or 4 days. God's not judging him. He just had a procedure done. It's not a judgment of God just because you got sick. All right? So, here we go. Number one, only those appointed by leadership were to judge. That's a key statement. Only those appointed by leadership were to judge. Look at verse 13. Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them, what's the next word? Rulers. Ooh, that's leaders over you. Look at verse 15. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. So you have to understand something. God's plan for judging the people was that only somebody that was appointed by a leader was to be a judge. Everybody look at me for a second. Did you know it's not Wiley's job to judge Gus or to judge Joe? Because you haven't been appointed by leadership to judge him. You say, well, I just don't think he's rearing his kids right. None of your business. Keep cotton picking nose out of Joe's business, Wiley. That's right. Just like it's not Joe's business how Wiley drives his truck. It's none of his business. All right? Say, why is that? We get into everybody's business thinking it's our business, and we don't have any leadership to do anything about it. I talked to someone this week, different state, and I said, I know a little bit about something. I said, possibly negative. I said, first of all, I don't want to know what the negative was. Second of all, doesn't matter what the negative was. Third of all, I don't want you to tell me what the negative was. I only need to know one part of this equation. Is this somebody that I could recommend somebody in my church to be influenced by? That was the question I asked. They said, well, did you? I said, I don't want to know anything. I said, I know there's been some allegation. I said, but I don't even know what it is. Just allegation, and I don't care. I know that it involves somebody where you're at. I need to know, is this person trustworthy? Through a series of phone conversations, I still don't know what it was, when it was, or anything about it. But I got the answer I needed. And you know what that preacher said? Thank you for being this way. I said, I got enough problems of my own. I don't need yours. I really don't. And I believe that way, just so you know. Now, listen to me very carefully here. It's not my area to judge. I'm just trying to protect people. Everybody understand that?
That's good.
People are not to judge each other as things happen. We're to judge when we've been appointed as leader to take care of things. Let me show you what I mean. There are different levels of judging. You know, it's not my job to judge how Mrs. Lopez is a grandmother to her grandson. None of my business. Watch this. It's none of your business either. Well, I wouldn't do it that way. Okay, don't do it. But don't tell everybody else how you're not going to do it either. you're judging somebody else based on your situation. Did you know her situation is different than yours? You know, I'm not going to judge Brother June and Sue on how they handle their family and their grandchildren, and I'm not going to compare Leanne to them. You say, why? That's different situations. Well, yeah, you're not going to handle everything the same way because not everything's the same situation. Just because your situation is a certain way doesn't mean everybody else's is that way. You don't understand. So why don't we not form our opinions, and why do we not quit judging people based on those things? Boy, that's good stuff, preacher. Amen. Did you know there's different levels of leadership to follow? There's captains of tens, captains of fifties, captains of hundreds, captains of thousands. 500s and thousands. You nursery workers have a few. Okay? You have an area of leadership there. But you Sunday school teachers, okay, Brother Ron, you lead more in Sunday school, and I'm going to use Mrs. Lopez in the nursery, than she does. So there's two different levels of leadership here. And Brother Barnes and Brother Ron deal about the same level that way. But then you got Brother June and Brother Gus that lead up here. It's a little bit different. And then I lead a whole bunch. You have different levels of leadership. Does that make sense to everybody? I've heard Brother June. I've heard Brother Gus. I've heard Brother Ron. I've heard Brother Barnes. And I've even heard Mrs. Lopez say, I think you ought to go see preacher about that one. Now, there's questions they can't answer. And there's other times they say, you need to go see preacher. Say, what is that? That's not their area. They'll pass the buck. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's to protect them. Every position, and by the way, every person has the same right to justice. Look at verse 16. I charge you, and I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear ye the causes between your brethren, judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is of God's. Judgment is God's, and the cause is too hard for you. Bring it to me, and I will hear it. Look at me. Did you know I'm not supposed to answer Brother Barnes differently than I would answer my son? It's the same justice. Do you know I'm not supposed to answer Rhonda differently than I would Kirsten? It's the same judgment. Sometimes it's a little harsh. That's why God said to the judges, don't be afraid of their faces. It's the same for everybody. Would to God, America, we get back to that in our political system. We have people making decisions in politics that don't have enough sense to get out of a wet paper bag. We have the court now making law, not judging law. We now have people saying, well, according to certain things, we think that the Constitution doesn't give, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, Second Amendment doesn't give American citizens the right to carry a weapon. It's unconstitutional. Okay, those are the same yardbirds that want to make Washington, D.C. a state, that it clearly says in the Constitution it is not to become a state, because then you have a local government that is more powerful than the federal government. The federal government would then have to listen to a local government. You think it's bad. Can you imagine the mayor of D.C. being over the president? That's what they're looking for. Can you imagine when Marion Barry would have been over the president of the United States? Lord have mercy. Or whoever this woman is down there now, she's not a whole lot better. And then the guy that was before him, good night. Oh, wait a minute, if they would just read it. Well, we don't think that's what it means now. It is what it is. It's the same for everybody. By the way, that's what America was built on. Listen to this statement very carefully. That is what justice for all means. That's what unity, that everybody is the same, means. That means it doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're old, you're young, you're green, purple, black, white, or chartreuse. It doesn't matter what color you are, what class you are, doesn't matter what gender you are. You have the same rights as every other human. Listen to me. Right. And you have the same rights to the justice system. Yes, sir. It doesn't mean that you make the same amount of money, have the same size car, have the same size house, have the same size paycheck. That's communism. That's not justice. I hate to tell you something. I don't think it's wrong for these CEOs to make a lot of money. They built the company. That's why they built it. I think it's more wrong for some little punk kid to start picketing that he can't make $15 an hour flipping burgers at Wendy's. Somebody flipping in burgers at Wendy's doesn't need $15 an hour. They need to get off their backside, get a good education, or go out and learn a trade. And before you complain about somebody else making more money than you, you go build your own company, and then you decide how much you're going to let them take away.
Right.
Companies are leaving America so fast because the tax rate on companies in America is so high. No place in the world that taxes the companies more than America. Nowhere. Well, and by the way, it's been going on for a long time. And I'm not angry. I'm just letting you know this is why it's happening. Did you know it's just as unjust for you to complain about your wages because you didn't get a $3 an hour raise this year as it is for them to let somebody go because they're Muslim? The guy that just went into the place in Orlando and killed everybody, they just redacted the 911 call. Can I tell you why? And your president is doing it because of Sharia law. Sharia law states that in an act of jihad, you have to proclaim publicly. He put it on Facebook, and he called 911 while he did it, and he actually posted it on Facebook while he was killing all those people as jihad. That's part of Sharia law. Did you know that the FBI cannot investigate them? There's a government entity that was started 7 years ago called the CEV, the counter, extremism, something or other. The FBI, CIA cannot question Muslims. They have to go through the local imams, and the imams have to turn in people of question before they're allowed to be investigated. So if the imam didn't turn them in, then they're not to be investigated by any government agency. And the president wants to blame the gun. I hate to tell you something, but the Islamic religion murders the LGBT community more than anybody. Now, I'm not for the sodomite lifestyle. But you've heard me say over and over again, you don't mistreat somebody because that's what they are. That's called a religion of peace. Not going in with a gun and killing somebody. They push them off buildings. They cut them up. They hang them. They make public spectacles of them. And you won't find them in those Muslim countries because they kill them. And yet your president says, oh, we ought to be inclusive. It's all Sharia law. And he is living by Sharia law with the American political system. Everybody doing okay? And Hillary's no better, just so you know. She's a wolf in ugly clothing. That's a criticism to the wolf. So, only those appointed by leadership were to be judges. Did you know it's not my daughter's job to judge what's right and wrong at the college that she goes to? She's supposed to live right by the rules of the college. If she disagrees with something, keep her mouth shut and do what's right. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Number two, We went from bad to getting to worse. You ready? Number two. Judges only judge in their area. Judges only judge in their area. Turn to Romans chapter 14. I'm going to use your Bible a little bit, so hang on. Romans 14. Let me read verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Watch this. Who is able to judge another man's servant? Right. Did you know you're not supposed to judge somebody else's employee or somebody else's follower? You know, it's not my job to judge somebody else's church member. Listen to this statement very carefully. I don't counsel somebody else's church member unless the pastor calls me and says I should. I'll be nice to them, but I'm not going to counsel them. Say why? Because who am I to judge another man's church member? Right. They're not my sheep.
True.
Everybody doing all right?
Preach it.
By the way, I only do it in certain cases even. Now, look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, for all of you spiritual people. Matthew 7, verse number 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Wow. It doesn't mean that people aren't supposed to be judged. What it means is this. Don't judge in an area that's not yours to judge. You know, it's not my job to judge Brother Joe and how he and Ashley rear their children. I go back to that because it's just so prevalent. I don't say, Joe, you're doing this all wrong. Now, if Joe and Ashley say, Preacher, what should we do different? I'll mention some things to them, but I'm not going to judge him on it. I talked to someone this week and I said, I need to let you know something. I'll support you 1,000% either way. I just happen to know something you don't know. Here's what I know. You do with it as you wish. I'll back you 1,000%, whatever your decision is. I don't think it's a decision between right and wrong. I think it's a judgment between good and best. And I said, I just think you need to know there's a yellow flag, red flag, blue flag, green flag, whatever out there. I said, that's all I'm doing. Say, did they do what you want? Don't know, didn't ask, don't care. I'll still back them. Everybody doing okay? did you know that in Deuteronomy 1, verse 13, these judges only judged in their area? It says from each tribe. Did you know that the tribe of Reuben didn't judge the tribe of Naphtali? And the tribe of Gad didn't judge the tribe of Simon? Say, why? Because it wasn't their area. Just like I don't judge Brother Arcola's church. You know, I have no say-so at his church, and I'm glad. I got all I can say grace over here. No pun intended. But Brother Arcola and I talk every once in a while. He'll say, hey, Doc, what do you think about? Okay, we'll talk. Past that. But I don't know if he ever does it or not. I don't ask him. I don't say, Brother Arcola, did you do what you and I talked about? If you didn't do it, I'm not your friend anymore. That's baby stuff.
Right.
Leave that at the playground, at the sandbox.
Amen.
That's how we act. Did you know it's not my job to judge his church? It's not. And I'm not going to. Say, I don't give it 10 seconds thought in my entire life unless he's asking me a direct question. I really don't. Everybody doing all right? Moses was the one they went to when it involved crossing areas. There was a leader there that was involved in the crisscrossing of areas, and when there was one of those problems, they took it to Moses. It needed somebody at the top that could make the decision when more than one area was involved. They just didn't make it amongst themselves. Did you know I don't judge somebody else's business? Brother Gus has his own business. I used this last week. Did you know I don't make business decisions for Brother Gus? Say why? Because it's not my area. I don't tell him how to run his employees. I don't tell other pastors how to lead their employees. I don't say, you really ought to fix that. None of my business. By the way, if I got enough time to figure out what they're doing, I'm not spending enough time on what I'm supposed to be doing. I really don't. It's none of my business. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, listen to the statement, and I'll go to the last point here. Judges may not always agree, but they're not to intervene, express opinion, or tell everybody how they would judge if it was their case. Do you know, my son's, he's been a pastor, he's going to be an assistant pastor now. Ooh, goodie bag. Got jelly beans in there. That was the wrong place to put that while I'm preaching. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that it's not my job to tell him how he's supposed to work where he's working in the ministry? Did you know it's not my job to say, Josh, you're doing it all wrong? He's not heard me say that. He's been with me 3 days. Something like that. 2.5 days. My other son was supposed to come home at the end of the week and surprise his mother. He came home on Monday with them and surprised me. Messing with my head. Now, wait a minute. Did you know it's not my job to tell him how he's supposed to work at the church he's going to in Florida? And it's not my job to talk to his boss and say, this is how you lead my son. God bless him. Glad you, not me. No. Did you know we're not supposed to crisscross? By the way, I'm not supposed to say, well, Josh, if I were you, I would have done it this way. I think you did it all wrong. Did you know that's unethical? I preached for him. Did you know what? I didn't correct anything. I didn't get up in front of his people and say, I know he's done this, but if in another 20 years he'll realize that doesn't work and he ought to do it this way. Good night. That's a good way to kill somebody. But that's what we do as Christians. We'll talk to our friends and say, well, did you know so-and-so did this? You know, if I were doing that, I would have done it this way. You've got too much time on your hands because you're talking about how you would do it, not how they did it. Why don't you back them? Well, they did it all wrong, according to you. But maybe you don't know all you think you know. Well, they didn't turn out right. I know some things you've done that haven't turned out right, too. Everybody doing all right? Oh, wait a minute. Did you know that if a judge rules in a case, another judge isn't supposed to make an opinion about it?
Right.
They're not. Do you know even the Supreme Court, there's only one opinion written? Usually. Sometimes there's two. There's both sides of the opinion written, but there's only one judge picked out of the, what is it, 9 Supreme Court justices? There's only 2 opinions written, 1 for, 1 against. Everybody else's opinion isn't even published or written. Doesn't matter. And they don't talk about, well, if I were in charge of the case, this is what I would have done. It doesn't work that way. Can I tell you something? In your marriage, it'll work. When you're dealing with your kids, work together as a team. You're not always going to see eye to eye. Somebody's going to want to beat them and the other one's going to want to hug them. Somewhere in the middle, usually it works out. And then before it's over, you both want to pinch its head off. Promise you. And it goes back and forth sometimes. You got to work together at it. And if one decides something you wouldn't have decided, back the one that initiated it. And when it's over, talk about it and fix it the next time. But don't do it in the middle of it. You'll destroy your children. They need to see that unity.
Yes, sir.
We were playing a game at the table the other night. And the boys were talking, yeah, we were afraid of dad's paddle and mom's look. Thinking, man. Some do. Now, wait a minute. It's amazing what adults say about mom and dad. Now, hang on for a second, and I'll hurry and be done here. This is something that you need to understand. Number three, judges could not even hear a case unless two witnesses came forth. Two witnesses does not mean somebody's guilty. Two witnesses means that you can just start investigating the case. Just because you have two witnesses doesn't mean something is what they say it is. Two against one doesn't mean somebody's guilty or proven innocent. Two witnesses were simply there for the judge to say, there's enough evidence, apparently, we need to investigate. We would call it a grand jury. And they do a grand jury investigation. And they investigate both sides to see if there's enough information to take that to court and actually have a case. Do you realize that in Baltimore and in some of these other cities where the riots took place, it didn't even go beyond the grand jury because the grand jury investigation couldn't come up with enough evidence to convict anybody of any wrongdoing. That's why it didn't go to court. There were witnesses, and they had enough allegation to go after research. The research deemed there was no trial to be set because there was not enough proof of wrongdoing for it to even go to court. That's what these grand jury investigations are. Well, we've got a video. We've got this witness. Okay, we have two forms of witness. We have to investigate. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Oh, my soul, that clock's moving faster. Somebody grab a hold of that thing. Slow it down. Deuteronomy 19, look at verse number 15. I'm going to read about six or seven verses here. Follow along with me very quickly here. One witness shall not rise up against a man for his iniquity, or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall a matter be, what's the next word?
Established.
Found guilty? No, established. That means you don't even establish it unless you have two or three witnesses. Keep going. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. The judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and he hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And I'll stop right there. Look at me. That means this. Two witnesses means you establish a matter. You begin inquiring. That's what the word inquisition means. And if you find out the people that brought that testimony were false witnesses trying to destroy someone, those false witnesses are to be put on trial and receive the punishment that they were trying to go after the person falsely for. In other words, the prosecuting attorney for the city of Baltimore ought to be in jail for the crimes of the police officers she's tried to put in jail. She should receive the punishment that she was going after for those people. Can I tell you what? You start doing that in America, it'll cut down on some of the trials in America in a hurry. We start throwing lawyers and prosecuting attorneys in like that, and watch what happens. They're not going to take these cases. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. And that's not what we're going to do in America, just so you know. But I'm glad that two of the police officers are going against that woman. They've already filed defamation of character suits. And I hope all of them do. Say why? Because she was wrong. She had no credible evidence that these guys were guilty, but before it ever went to court, she had deemed them guilty, and the city of Baltimore gave that family of Freddie Gray $6.4 million. They were given $6.4 million Did you know none of those police officers have been convicted yet? No wrongdoing. Everybody doing all right? Now, where's the justice? Say, who needs to be on trial? That lady.
Right.
And all of her henchwomen and men. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you'll love this. Do you know that that woman's husband works for Hillary? That's what we're dealing with. You start throwing them in jail. By the way, it doesn't matter if it's Hillary. It doesn't matter if it's you or me. It shouldn't matter who it is. Justice is for all.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you can have false witnesses. Did you know that two witnesses only means you investigate the situation? Let's bring this down to where we live. Mommy, my brother did. Can I tell you something? You only have one witness. You got to do some investigating. Now, his brother or his sister may have done such and so, but there's a chance they didn't. Well, they've done it before, so, just because you did it once doesn't mean you're going to do it again. I did a lot of things once. I was smarter than my brother. I didn't try him a second time. Now, wait a minute. Just because somebody has been guilty of it once doesn't mean they're guilty of it again. Even though they're accused. Everybody doing okay? All of us are sinners. And nobody has perfect justice but God. So if only God has perfect justice, who are we to decide we know more about justice than God does? Okay, hang on. I'm going to say a couple more things about this. Judges were not to seek a witness. The witnesses were to come on their own. Do you know, it's not my job to say, I think that Arlene is guilty of something really bad. So I'm going to go investigate and see if I can find somebody that agrees with me. That would be evil, would it not? I'm looking for somebody to say, okay, now I have two witnesses. Now, Arlene, I have to investigate you. No. I've already started it. That's unjust. By the way, I don't know of anything she's done evil yet. Mike's still breathing, isn't he? Okay, she's all right. Watch this. For me as a judge to go seeking for witnesses after somebody means I'm on an evil vendetta. That means I'm looking to take somebody down. I have vengeance in my heart at that moment. I was with a situation years ago. I heard a preacher say, well, we have an allegation. Our job to investigate. And I'm going to get to the bottom of it. This was the statement that made me upset. And they said, I'm going to prove them that they did it. I said, I thought it was our job to prove what was right and wrong. He said, nope, I'm going to prove that they did it. By the way, they tried to destroy somebody. Didn't work. They destroyed an awful lot. But they didn't destroy that person. But their reputation is tarnished too. Hurt a lot of people in the process. All because they wanted to try to prove somebody had done something that was only alleged. Everybody doing okay? Now, I love you. Let's be careful in our marriages, in our homes, at church. If you see Brother Barnes down out front and he's got cigarette butts, I'm not going to say, well, Brother Barnes down there smoking like a chimney. He's probably cleaning up from everybody else. But there are people that would say, well, I saw him out in front of your church with cigarette butts. He was smoking. Well, if you come here about 5:30 on a Sunday morning, you're going to see me with a bucket load of cigarette butts because I'm cleaning them up out there. You say, why? Because I want it clean and neat when you come here. I was going to clean them up tonight, but they were moving this office out and there was too many cars and people out there, I'd have been blowing cigarette butts all over people. So I didn't do it. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Just because somebody sees what they think is something wrong doesn't mean that person did wrong. Everybody okay? Just because you think you heard something that was wrong doesn't mean that it was wrong. Did you ever pick up in the middle of something and thought you heard something you didn't hear?
Right.
Oh, yeah, we've all done that. And by the way, we parents have to be careful with our teenagers because sometimes we watch a reaction and think they did something they didn't do. Been there, done that one too many times. I've had to apologize to all my kids. I wasn't just. Now, I realize justice balances out, and there's times they got away with it, and they shouldn't have got away with it, and they did. But may I say this, it wasn't right any time I was unjust, whether they should have got it some other time or not. Everybody doing all right? Justice. We're not supposed to seek witnesses. That's vengeance. That's evil. That's us trying to take somebody down. I'm not trying to take anybody down. We're just trying to decide right and wrong, help you the best we can. Welcome to the hospital. Do you know when you go to the hospital, the doctor doesn't say, did you do that on your own or did it just happen? You know, yeah. When Jeff went to the hospital, when he stuck his finger in the lawnmower and his finger's hanging down, they said, what'd you do? I stuck my finger in the lawnmower. Okay, it didn't just happen. They knew what it was. Because he was had just turned 18, they had to say, now, did your parents have anything to do with this? No, they told me not to do it. They're looking for child abuse, and I understood it. I don't like it, but that's what they do. Now, wait a minute. Did you know they weren't going to say, well, just because you did that yourself, we're not going to fix you up, clean out yourself, and stitch it yourself. You shouldn't have done that. You know better than that. Guess what? That's the way we Christians act sometimes. Somebody hurts themselves, they've done something they shouldn't do, and they've torn themselves up a little bit on their own, and we want to say, well, because you did it yourself, you just fix it yourself. No, they still need help too. They deserve the same help as the guy that was walking down the street and somebody stuck him with a knife. What's the difference? Okay, one was stupidity, self-inflicted. The other was accidental because somebody else's sin. Either way, they're still bleeding all over the place. And boy, was I glad they numbed his finger. That old thing was hanging down like this. They cleaned it out real good, and they're picking grass and everything out of that thing, and I'm thinking, ooh, that's going to hurt tomorrow. Then she put that thing back on there, and she took that needle and it like that, and pulled it right through the middle of his fingernail, right back in here. And I said, ooh. I said, son, you better be glad for Novocaine right now. I said, because if you could feel that, you'd be screaming. Man, needle going through the quick of your fingernail like that. I can take an awful lot, but watching him do that, I walked away. Because it just made me hurt all over. Thinking, oh, that really couldn't have hurt. She said, oh, it really won't hurt that bad after the Novocaine wears off. It's just while it's going through there, and that's why we numbed it. And I'm thinking, man, you better thank God for Novocaine. They'd have had to put me out to do that if there was no Novocaine, let me tell you. Wow. I mean, when you can see the white of the bone sticking out there, you know, and they're stitching that thing back. Ooh. Now, wait a minute. For the hospital to say, well, we're not going to help you because you did it yourself. That's silly. Why do we Christians act that way with somebody? We'll go out and go soul winning, win somebody to Christ, bring them to church, and they've got a worse background than one of our kids that grows up in church and makes a mistake. We want to take the kid that grew up in church and throw him out of church and step on him and call him no good, dirty, rotten, filthy, vile person. And yet somebody gets saved off the streets and done far worse. We say, look what God did. I call that hypocrisy. Everybody doing all right? I'm for restoring them both. That's the way it's supposed to be. Nobody's too far gone. They all can be helped. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stay in our own area of judgment. Let's not judge if we've not been appointed to judge. And let's not find somebody guilty just because we've got a witness or two. That's just an act for us to start investigating.